You are listening to Beyond the Measure, Episode 3. Listen as I, a young composer, and my wife, a young choir director, interview other music educators in order to gain insight into their own success in the classroom. We have a lot to learn, and we want you to learn with us. No matter your age, ensemble, or experience, this is the ideal podcast for music educators, composers, and students alike. So join us as we go beyond the measure. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the third episode of Beyond the Measure. My name is Christian, and I'm here with...
Kara.
And we are very excited to get going on our third episode here. Today, Kara is going to be interviewing me just to hear, just so y'all can hear a little bit more about my story, how I came to become a composer and get into music and all that fun stuff. And man, the more we do this, I know it's only the third episode, but we've been kind of playing around with recording and talking about, you know, all this.
I think we got it down.
Yeah, I think we're literally perfect now. but I'm getting really pumped to talk to other people, and I'm sure y'all are too. Y'all are listening to this and like, oh, okay, let's get y'all's stories over with. Let's go to the good people.
All 10 of you listening.
Maybe. Yeah, all 10 of you Abilinians that are listening right now. But no. So this will be good. So, all right. Well, take it away, Kara.
Okay. So let's just start out how you interviewed me, starting with your musical journey. So like your background, of music, and how did you get to this point?
Well, let me think. So it's kind of similar to like what you said about, you know, in the last episode, how you grew up with your dad. Your dad was a big, you know, person that brought music into your life a lot. And that's actually the same for me. My dad was really...
My dad?
yeah, your dad brought music into my life. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, no, my dad, he was almost a music major in college as well. He ended up majoring in theology. He went to Baylor University, and that's where...
That's literally TCU.
Those y'all can't see. Kara was, when I said Baylor, Kara did like the TCU horn fronts. Oh man. And so I had to like correct her while she was looking. But yeah, both my parents went to Baylor. That's where they met. And even though my dad didn't end up majoring in music, he did play in the Baylor Symphony in the 90s. So when he was there, so he played the violin. So I got to grow up hearing not just the violin, but well, let me put it this way. So he played the violin. So I heard a lot of classical orchestral music. And then, but he majored in theology, and then he worked at a church. So I also heard a lot of Christian music, and that was literally all I heard growing up. So, I mean, I enjoyed, you know, Christian music and all that stuff, but pretty much all I really ever listened to was, you know, like Baby Mozart and Baby Beethoven, all those things where it shows like the toys on the screen while it's playing classical music. And then, but also at a young age, I really, really loved listening to movie soundtracks. Some of the biggest ones that I would listen to were The Prince of Egypt, which I guess at the time that was a pretty new movie, early 2000s. Prince of Egypt, which was Hans Zimmer. The Lion King, which was also Hans Zimmer. And then, what was the other one? Oh, shoot, I can't remember. Oh, of course.
How to Train Your Dragon. Well, wait, did you already say that?
No. That one was later. So I'll get to that in a second. But it was Titanic, actually. And people hear that and they're like, oh, that's funny. Like, you like the, you know, like the... No. That wasn't what I was listening to. I liked the music that played when the Titanic, like, hits the iceberg and it was, like, sinking, like the super intense, big, bombastic stuff. That was the music that I listened to. So... I just remember really young. And there was also an orchestral album that Michael W. Smith came out with called Freedom. And I loved that album as well. And I just remember listening to that music and like running around in circles, just going crazy in my living room. But anyways, I'm rambling on about my young music life. But so I grew up with kind of that influence and the violin and all of that stuff. I took piano lessons when I was in elementary school. I honestly don't know why. I don't remember why I decided to do that. I just wanted to. And I did that for a good few years. And eventually I realized I just hated practicing and I didn't like the music I was having to play. And I just never practiced, and which made every lesson miserable. Not because I had mean teachers or anything, but because I hated going to, you know, just knowing that I hadn't practiced and I just didn't do good. And so I eventually stopped like in middle school. So there was that. And then I also did participate in orchestra. I was living in Kansas City at the time. And so I started playing the viola, actually. I wanted to be different than my dad. So I chose the viola. And I played viola from fourth grade through seventh grade. Now in seventh grade, my family moved down to Texas. We moved to Austin. And at the time, I wasn't super passionate enough, I guess I wasn't passionate enough about, you know, participating in music to really like continue with it. So, the district we just happened to move to didn't have an orchestra program. So I wasn't really able to do it, but at the same time, I wasn't so passionate about it that I didn't try to pursue doing it somewhere else. So I just stopped. So, so from middle school all the way through, like, you know, halfway through high school, I didn't really participate in any musical ensembles, but I did kind of have that musical background, through all that participation I had. And then let me think. And so during my time, you know, once I moved to Austin, I really, even though I wasn't participating in music, that was when I really fell in love with like epic orchestral music. So, it started off with like the Halo video game soundtrack. I loved listening to all like the soundtracks from all those different games. And then that kind of through listening to music on like Pandora Radio, that was based off of that, and on YouTube and stuff, that led me to other groups like Audio Machine and Really Slow Motion. These are companies, music production companies that do music for that do music like for movie trailers and that kind of thing. And so it was while listening to a lot of that kind of music that I always remember walking the track at my high school. This was before I was in high school, but I was walking the track there and I was listening to a song. It's called Arrival and it's from the Halo 4 soundtrack. And I just remember listening to that song and just like listening to it on the track and just thinking, this is so amazing. I want to be able to write music like this. Like I want to be a composer. And it's just kind of funny when I think about it, cause I wasn't even participating in music at the time. But anyways, so fast forward and, I found another music production company called Two Steps from Hell. That sounds like a bad name, but it's, you know, they just make orchestral music and especially there's a composer there, named Thomas Bergeson, and I just fell in love with his music. And so his music like really inspired me to like, you know, that was the kind of music I wanted to write. And, so I did like beginning music theory my sophomore year of high school. And then during that time, that was when I kind of, so like music theory was in the choir room at my high school. And so that was kind of how I slowly like started getting introduced to choir and the idea of like, oh yeah, choir is a thing. Maybe. And, you know, leading up to my junior year of high school, that was, you know, it took me a long time to really get serious about wanting to write music. But by the time I got to my junior year, that was like when I was like, okay, well I need to join an ensemble and I am not joining band my junior year of high school in Austin, Texas.
Do they even allow that?
I mean, I don't know. Honestly, they may have
to learn the basics.
Well, yeah, exactly. I just don't know. I mean, maybe they would have. I'm sure I wouldn't have done much, but yeah, that also would have meant marching band too. And honestly, I don't think I even thought of that at the time. Yeah, so there's no way I would have done that. So I joined choir, and man, it just like it changed my life. Like, just like what you said in the last episode about finding that community and friends. Like for me, moving to Austin was really hard for me as like a kid. And I just, it made it hard for me to make new friends. But like once I joined choir, it was really easy and it helped me like break out of my shell and everything. And I just had so much joy doing that. And so my choir directors were Brenda Justice and Julie Rhodes. And they just were huge role models to me in, you know, fostering that kind of fun atmosphere and just, you know, we talked about in the last episode, like having those relationships. And, you know, they did that, you know, in an excellent way. So, so they were like my heroes. They still are. They're my heroes. So that was kind of, you know, choir was like my main thing that I did and in high school. And during that time, that was when I started to write music. I used MuseScore, the free notation software. And I started writing my first pieces on that, which, you know, were horrible, of course. And then I slowly like switched to Sibelius. The computer that was in the choir room had Sibelius. So I would like use that. And so during this whole time, I wanted to go to Baylor, because that's where my parents went. And I love the school and I still love the school. And that's just where I always wanted to go my whole life. And then the summer before, my senior year, I'd gotten a brochure in the mail, and it was from Hardin Simmons. And I looked at their programs and I saw that, oh, they have music theory and composition. Okay. Well, maybe I'll go check. I was like, oh, okay. It's a small school, you know, it's a Christian school. And so then I toured that summer and I just fell in love with it. Cause it was like, wow, this feels like, it feels like a school like Baylor, but just small. Like this is everything I didn't realize I was needing. And having those, again, going back to relationships, that just made a big difference, big, big difference for me. So I decided to go there. Senior year went by and then there I was, Hardin Simmons, and that's where we met.
Yeah, cool. I had no idea. This is all news to me.
Yeah.
Well, segueing into where we met, Hardin Simmons, kind of just tell us like your experience as a theory composition major, and yeah, just like what you learned, who you learned from, and things like that.
Yeah. So coming to college as a music major, well, I'll say for me personally, I felt really underqualified compared to a lot of the other students that were there because, even including you, like a lot of, I came in as a choral, you know, the vocal side, and, like a lot of our friends there had, you know, they had done Allstate and they'd been in Allstate choir once, twice, three times. And I barely even knew what Allstate was. And I had never even taken voice lessons before. But I had some musical background, of course, but I just still felt like I didn't have nearly as much as a lot of other people. So that was definitely like an interesting aspect early on, for me. And it was really like kind of a good wake up call, just to kind of see like, wow, this is how much more I have yet to grow that I can grow. So that was an exciting thing. But I primarily, studied with, Dr. Bernard Scher at Hardin Simmons. He was the composition professor at the time. I'm sure we'll have him on the podcast at some point. He's a really fun dude. He's a hoot. Yes, he is. And he is a music theory genius. Like he's just so good at, you know, at everything music theory. Like he's like kind of too good. And so anyways, I spent a lot of time with him and the degree was really focused not just on composition, but also theory. So not only did we have those basic theory classes, but we also had a lot of advanced stuff. Like we had a separate counterpoint class, which a lot of other schools include counterpoint in their beginning theory class, but we had an entire class dedicated to counterpoint. Had to take like Shankarian analysis, I'm not even going to begin to go in with what that is. We had like post-tonal theory.
Do you even
theory.
Know what it is after taking the class?
Well, yeah, I do. I could just say that like, as an excuse. A lot of stuff like that. But not just Dr. Scher though. I mean, there were other people too. I mean, we talked about Dr. Romines. He was a big factor as well. He taught those beginning theory classes, but, he was also just a really good, choral director and really good conducting teacher as well. Dr. Rye, again, we talked about him. He was a really good choir director as well. So fun to be around. And then, Dr. Hollingsworth, Dr. Christopher Hollingsworth, he was my voice teacher, and I have to give him a shout out because, again, like I said, I'd never taken voice lessons before. And so he was the guy that basically, got to, you know, break me out of, you know, work. He had to work to break me out of the voice I came in with. And I learned a lot from him, and my voice really grew during my 4 years at Hardin-Simmons. And there were a lot of times I did not want to like do my voice lessons. And you remember like there were times I don't want to do this. I just want to write music. So I always appreciate him for always sticking with me and doing that. But I think the main thing I would say that was interesting about my college experience though, is there were a lot of times where not just, you know, I say that with voice lessons, but even with like music theory and even like my composition classes where I just didn't want to do what they were assigning us. And I think it was because I just kind of had that natural inclination of like, oh, well, if someone's telling me to do this, of course I just don't naturally like can't get myself.
Psychology.
Yeah, exactly. Like I have to write a piece for string quartet. Well, I'm trying, but I can't, but I am easily able to write this piece for choir, you know, over here and then vice versa. You know, when it's time to write for choir, I can't, and I'm writing for, you know, chamber ensemble or something. But anyways, it was a really good experience for me. I can't believe I haven't mentioned this yet, but, the other big thing that happened to me during my time at Hardin-Simmons was I had my very first premiere of a piece that I'd written. It was a choral piece, called Voices of Sun. Dr. Wright conducted it. And that piece is actually about my experience in choir in high school. So what I said earlier about, you know, how, you know, just finding that community really broke me out of my shell and, you know, changed my life and everything. That's what that piece was about. So it was really nice having that as like my first ever actual like premiere of a, you know, larger piece of music. And then I got to premiere two other choral pieces as well, Farewell and Overcome, which I won't get into the story behind Farewell, but I'm sure we'll talk about it at some point, when we get Dr. Wright on the show at some point.
You can find all of those recordings.
That's right.
At Christian Fortner Music on YouTube.
Shameless plug. That's right. Yeah. So if any of y'all are looking for any new music or music you haven't really heard before, yeah, my website is christianfortnermusic.com. And technically, I guess you could say I am a sponsor of the show since my business kind of did financially sponsor the making of this
podcast.
Which
leads to our sponsor.
Our sponsor.
Christian Fortner Music.
And then just go right back into it. And those recordings are on YouTube. I'll tell you like where I'm at right now is I have gotten that experience with choir, getting choirs to perform my music, and especially with, you know, you, Kara, having ensembles now, I've been able to do a little bit for them as well. But I'll be completely like open with y'all listening. I still have not yet had a string orchestra or full orchestra piece or concert band piece performed yet. So
you're about to get something performed.
I'm getting there. So I had my senior recital last year and it had to be virtual because of COVID and everything, but it kind of turned out okay because it gave me the experience of being able to record people, like in our recording studio at HSU. So some of them were live recordings, like the choral performances were those past recordings. And then I got to record some like chamber pieces in the recording studio. And then there were other, like my full orchestra pieces I just had to do with, you know, just like the MIDI. So it was kind of a weird mix, but you can find my recital on my YouTube channel again, Christian Fortner Music. So if there are any orchestra or band directors listening to this and you think you're interested in, you'd like to perform one of my pieces, please let me know. Cause I haven't had any of those premiered yet. So that's something I'm really excited, hoping to get pretty soon. But as we're recording this, I do have a a clarinet quartet that was commissioned from me from a teacher down back in Leander, in the Austin area where I'm from. And they're going to be premiering that in about a month, actually. So, well, about like 2 months, I think.
Anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, as of right now, like I said in a past episode, I'm now working as an admissions counselor at Hardin-Simmons. It's been really nice to be able to like help recruit music students, especially. So with that being said, if there are any people listening here, any choir directors listening, Hardin-Simmons, we have a great school of music, and I'd be happy to tell you more about what we have to offer here. So feel free to reach out to me. christian.fortner@hsutx.edu.
Okay. We kind of talked about it already, but like, who are some of your inspirations / people you look up to? Things.
Oh, yeah. Well, as far as people that are just in my life, I mean, obviously my parents and my family, they're definitely my, you know, they've been my biggest supporters and everything, just always again. And then people I look up to, and I mean, just, you know, like I said, my choir directors in high school, Miss Justice and Mrs. Rhodes. And, I mean, you already named them in the last episode, just all of our HSU faculty again that we worked with. As far as, I mean, again, I look up to a lot of composers as my role models as well. Eric Whitaker being one of them, as we already talked about, that relational aspect. It's great what he's doing as a composer and what he's doing for music educators. That's a great thing. And so there's that. And then again, just like Thomas Bergeson and a lot of those music production companies that make a lot of that big epic stuff. I feel like it's not appreciated quite enough, just how good a lot of that music is, but that's another discussion for another time, that kind of music.
So what have been like your biggest lessons learned and some of the problems and stuff that you've faced and things like that?
Yeah. Well, as a composer, probably being able to start a piece of music and finish the gosh darn thing. And I've never heard of a composer that doesn't struggle with this. Man, I'll be honest. I don't know if I've really come up with a solution. That's something I still struggle with, and maybe I'll always struggle with it. I feel like I've gotten a little better. But I'm still like, I've started so many projects that I'm still like randomly finding old projects and then finishing them. So it's like I finished this piece this year, but I started it 3 years ago. So I don't know what counts as the date that I wrote it. But I think as of right now where I'm at, I'm just like really working on growing myself as like a kind of like a business and like marketing myself, you know, just to the world and getting my music out there. But that's kind of also why I'm doing this though, is because I really want to be able to, you know, connect with music educators and bring value to them in any way that I can. So, cause you know, they're the biggest teammates that I have as a composer. So, yeah, I think that's the main thing, is just really working to build that network and build those relationships.
Do you have any encouragement for, or words of wisdom for young composers as yourself, or people who are considering or people who write music like as a hobby and maybe they want to make this like their career?
It doesn't matter how much you think you know about music, that doesn't need to stop you from trying to write music. I mean, yeah, I joined an ensemble, you know, pretty late in high school, which is generally late for composers, or at least composers that a lot of composers I've talked to. But with that being said, like, I mean, all you need to do is, I mean, I highly recommend learning to play piano at least somewhat, but there's nothing stopping you from walking up to a piano and hitting one of the keys with your finger and then hitting another key with your finger and thinking, okay, how did I like the way that sounded? Yeah, I thought that sounded okay. And then hitting a third key with your finger and thinking, did I like the way that sounded with those two? No, no, okay, let me try this one. Okay, that one sounds good. And so just taking those small steps towards writing music. There were a lot of times it was hard for me to like just get myself to start working on music and everything because I felt like, oh no, I still need to do this. I still need to learn how to do this. And I still struggle with that too. Like, oh, I don't know how to notate the certain type of instrument, or I don't know the best range of this, or the balance, how this balance is going to be. So I just need to wait before I put it out there, that kind of thing. But I just encourage young people to, you know, just push through. Don't be afraid to take steps of faith. And then also just remember that you're not, if you really want to like start succeeding with your music, don't work alone, which is kind of what, you know, this is all about. Like, you want to meet other people that can help you, whether it's teachers, like people that are teaching you as a composer, or, you know, just getting to know other people in the music field.
That's good. That's good. Just start spitting off some fun facts about yourself.
Fun facts. Well, I'm right-handed.
No way.
Since that was your first fact, you're left-handed.
We start with two truths and a lie.
Two truths and a lie. Let's see here. What favorite? You listed favorites.
I listed favorite foods.
Foods. Yeah, okay. There. Oh, no, that's okay. Favorite foods, green apples. Mm-hmm.
He eats maybe, I'm not exaggerating, whenever we have them in stock in our home, probably like 5 to 6 apples a day.
What? I don't think I eat that
many. No, you do. If they're the small ones in the bag, yeah.
Well, yeah, after the small
ones. If they're the large ones, like probably two, like three.
Two or three. Okay. Well, you know, at least it's pretty healthy, so. But green apples, I really like
beef jerky.
I like cheeseburgers, pizza, kind of your standard American stuff, I guess. Steak, you know, your classic just meat stuff. So that's kind of my favorite stuff there. Favorite TV shows, movies. I should have mentioned this when I was talking about like growing up, but one of my favorite movies is How to Train Your Dragon. But part of that is because that is one of my favorite movie scores.
Man, I didn't talk about favorite movies. I should have.
It's one of my favorite movie scores, is How to Train Your Dragon. I remember listening. I found the sound. This was like in sixth grade when the movie came out. I was in sixth grade and, I hadn't even seen the movie. I don't think I saw the movie until like a year after it came out, but I found the soundtrack. My dad introduced me to the soundtrack, and I just remember listening. I downloaded the whole soundtrack onto my iPod Shuffle, and then I connected it to this like speaker we had at home. And I just remember like playing like the whole soundtrack from start to the end, and then just laying, I would just like lay on the floor of our living room, just like listening to it. Just cause I love the way it sounded. So anyways, How to Train Your Dragon, one of my favorite movies, Prince of Egypt again, since I was little, love it. But you know, I also love, what are my other favorite movies?
You like Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
I really like Rise of the Planet of the Apes, but honestly, I don't think I'd put that as one of my favorite movies. Hmm. Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh gosh.
Oh yes. Now that is high quality fiction right there, boys. Y'all know. they know, Kara. They know that That's one of the best movies of all time. So, Nacho Libre is good too, but you know, I'll always be a Napoleon Dynamite guy. So those are some of my favorite movies. And then favorite TV shows. I love Attack on Titan. My brother introduced that to me. Also, that's one of my favorite soundtracks too. I don't care who you are. Anime.
So good.
Animes. I guess animes. Is animes the plural of Anime? Anime. That just shows you how big actual anime fans we are. We don't even know the plural. But anime soundtracks are really good. So
most of the time.
Most of the time, yes. So Attack on Titan soundtrack, amazing. But honestly, my actual all-time favorite show will always be the classic Andy Griffith Show. Because I grew up watching that, and it's just such a nice feel good show. It never gets old for me. So it always puts me in a good mood to be able to watch it, and always reminds me of my family. Anything else? Oh, music.
Favorite music, like pop musicians, or you only have one, I'm pretty sure. And then composers.
Yeah. Say what y'all want. I mean, y'all heard earlier, I literally grew up with orchestral soundtrack music and Christian music. So I was never exposed to pop music really. So I still don't really listen to pop music. I'm sure a lot of y'all are like, oh wow, he's one of those guys. But I mean, as far as pop music goes, I love Owl City.
Yeah. I've exposed him to the good
stuff. You have exposed me to some good stuff. I mean, I like stuff you listen to. I really like Owl City. I've listened to Owl City since I was young when he got popular with Fireflies, but
I like to make my
city. Yeah. And Adam Young, who's the guy behind Owl City, he is a big inspiration of mine just as a composer and as a person, as an artist. I just love how creative he is in the art and what he does. He does a wide variety of types of sounds. And then I've been listening to a lot of a group called Walk Off the Earth lately. They primarily got well known because of covers that they did of popular songs, but they've done a lot of like their own original music. I think that's pretty much it as far as like pop goes, that I really listen to. But yeah, I mean, I already told you about the soundtracks, Two Steps from Hell, Thomas Bergeson, incredible, phenomenal. He's my favorite composer, Thomas Bergeson, phenomenal composer. And he does a really wide variety. He does a lot of orchestral stuff, but he's also really good at writing like pop music as well. So really, really talented. I highly recommend his music if you've never heard it before. I can't think of anything else.
Well, got any last thoughts, final thoughts? I think I got over everything.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Well, I'll just say we've already said this a bunch of times already, but again, we're both just so young and kind of where we're at in our journeys, and we're just really excited to be able to start talking to more people that have, done years of this, and it's gonna be really good, really good, really excited, and we hope y'all stay along for the journey, and it'll be lots of fun. So next episode, we're kind of still figuring out the order, so I won't say for sure who is gonna be in next week's episode, but
next episode we will have a guest.
Yep.
We don't know who it is yet.
Yep. We have a bunch of people that have said they're going to do it. It's just a matter of who will be first.
Yeah. So.
All righty. Well, thank y'all very much.
Thanks. See you later.
Adios.